Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. This is Brian here with Jimmy, Kyle, and Dave. And today, we're going to be talking HBO's new hit series, The Last of Us. This is going to be Season 1, Episode 9, finale time, guys, entitled Look for the Light. And as always, before we get into the episode, I do want to take this moment to reroute you over to BingetownTV.com. It has our entire catalog of over 300 episodes. We cover The Boys, The Mandalorian, Yellow Jackets, Shadow and Bone coming up. March is a big month for us. So if you're looking for something after The Last of Us, maybe you can follow one of those shows that we are going to be covering coming up. And the easiest, quickest way you can support the podcast is just by hitting that follow, subscribe button, whatever it may be. But without further ado, we have a big episode 9 to talk about here.
Ooh,
it is
baby.
Sitting pretty at a 9.3 in the IMDb ratings. Another great episode. We've been talking the entire series about the duality of Joel, and it was on full display this episode. I've been talking plenty. I'm going to turn it over to our rooks.
I got some beef here, to be honest.
What's your beef, bro?
I mean, look, the episode was phenomenal. We obviously discussed last episode that we love seeing Joel hit that darker side and be the beast that we know he is, but I just feel a little unsatisfied with some things. I guess maybe we'll get into it when we get a little bit further into our discussion, but I just feel like some things just I didn't expect them, and maybe that's just from, you know, the recording and all this talking that we've been doing, this theorizing, and I have these expectations, and this might be one of those shows that might get, you know, fall a little bit in my rankings because we cover it on a podcast. But yeah, I just felt like I needed more out of this episode. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I thought it was like great action all around and a lot of like twists that I didn't see coming. But at the end of the day, like the episode ended and I was like, that's it. You know, like maybe it had to do with the 43 minutes, but it just, we'll get into it. But that was my two cents. I do have some beef with this episode.
So you're just going to just throw it at us that you had some beef and then not actually give us
it's,
the substance.
It's mostly,
of the
all right, the main thing, the main substance is that it's
beefaroni,
I thought
it was
crazy that Joel was as selfish as he was at the end of that season. And I get that he was the father figure to Ellie, and obviously no parent wants to lose their child thing, but selfish. I don't know. He's
well, I mean,
the
that's the
one,
yeah,
girl.
I mean, that's the point, right? You're supposed to, the duality, just like Brian said, you're obviously allowed to have one side or the other opinion or just be on the fence, and maybe we'll convince you one way or the other if one person's on this side, the other person's on that side. But yeah, I mean,
it was very black and white, guess I'm saying. Like, I didn't expect it to be so black and white. Like, it's either Ellie dies and everyone lives, or it's either Ellie dies and Joel, or like Ellie gets saved kind of thing. It's just, it was very black and white ending, and I didn't expect it to be that way. And Joel lying too at the end to Ellie, I was like, oh my god, like what is this guy
liar,
doing,
man?
Yeah, sorry, enough of,
we're gonna
thoughts.
Get there,
yeah,
I'm interested to hear, so, yeah, Kyle, so shares Dave's reservations about the episode.
I would say that like the substance of his opinion, like the reasoning behind it, I would agree with, in the sense that like it was definitely shocking, but I don't think that I didn't necessarily like it because of that. I enjoyed it. The whole big thing for me was when it ended, it felt like very obvious or weird, or like the elephant in the room was that it was a 9-episode season,
or the giraffe in the room.
Yeah, or the giraffe in the room. that there was only 9 episodes, and it could just be, again, now me being selfish instead of Joel being selfish. Yeah. But like, it feels like there could have been a 10th episode and there wasn't a 10th episode. I think it, I mean, it did end at somewhat of a nice, like, it's a cliffhanger and it's like, okay, like there's a lot to talk about and like, how is the relationship going to change? And we'll have all of this time between now and season two to talk about all that stuff. It just like was like, wow, it was, episode flew by and then it was never done. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have two things really quick to say. And the first thing is, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Dave, but it sounds like you're saying you really enjoyed the episode. You just don't like Joel's decisions. So it's more about like, you're not down with what Joel decided to do or like that. And then you have some of the, what Kyle was saying about, you thought you wanted a little bit more meat.
And again, I will reiterate this, that I did still love seeing Joel just kick all that fucking Firefly ass. Like, that was amazing, but it just didn't, I guess, hit me in the way that it should have hit me.
With regards to what Kyle was saying, maybe we could have used another episode. There have already been reports coming out, or I think quotes from Craig Mazin, that The Last of Us 2 will not be a one season affair.
Right.
He said it will definitely be multiple seasons. We can't say for sure it'll be two seasons, three seasons, but it is going to be a multiple season story to tell. So they're going to give themselves plenty of time to develop this story in future seasons.
I actually forgot that I saw that tweet, and that actually does make me feel actually a little bit better about the ending, and we can get there when we get there. But that does make me feel a little bit better, because I guess the expectation was that, you know, this was going to end at a point the game ended, and I was expecting like an ending of a game that would make me feel satisfied. Whereas here there was a little bit left on the plate.
Well, let me just tell you that it ended exactly like the game ended, and me and Brian had to wait, and everybody else who loved the video games had to wait 8 years for part two.
I still haven't played part two, so we're waiting.
We're sitting here like some Game of Thrones homies or something with the Song of Ice and Fire, but that's a little bit longer. It's I don't know. Should we, me and you, get into it yet, Brian, or should we just start talking and then we'll start, you know, weaving it in?
Yeah, we'll start weaving it in. Truth be told, I actually kind of, my memory gets blurry at the actual ending. Did they like roll credits in the video game right when Ellie says okay?
Yep. As soon as she says okay, fade to black. And then the credits, and that's it. Game over.
Well, fantastic. I mean, feels tight then. I mean, I guess they didn't need 10 episodes. They knew they only needed 9. Mm-hmm.
So for me, I say that this is probably a masterclass in taking the end of a game and removing some of, I don't want to say filler, but removing some filler and giving us exactly the bullet points we need to get to the ending. I told you guys in the last episode, I was worried that it was going to be 43 minutes. Did I want more than 43 minutes? Hell yeah. And I was laughing on Twitter. This guy was tweeting saying, Jesus, it took me 5 hours to get through the hospital and kill all those Fireflies. It took Joel 3 minutes in a montage.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, hey, like, listen, that's where I thought we were going to get a lot more. And that's just action. It's not going to give you guys any like better feelings. It was just going to be more action to see. Do we want to see more Joel kicking ass? Hell yeah. But I thought the montage was perfect with the music in the background, the way they shot it, and leading to the scene that we get at the end with the surgeon. And then obviously with the flashbacks of, you know, with Marlene, but I mean, that's it. That's the ending. I mean, that's exactly how the game was. And once we get to that in our recap, we'll start. There's a lot of things to break down. Like, what does okay actually mean? We already kind of know you're not okay with a lot of Joel's decisions, and if that was a satisfying ending. But yeah, let's start. Okay, Dave, get in here, dude.
If anything, I'm just salty that Joel ended up being such a terrible person by the end of the series. That might be where my, you know, resolution.
It's not so black and white. People have been debating this ending and what the implications for how you have to view Joel as a human being now, because he hasn't hidden that side of himself. We've seen him like murder people in cold blood. You always knew that was there, but now it's just,
I guess for me, it's like the mission was the mission. Like, get him to the Firefly. So
he didn't kill the nurses. He didn't kill the nurses, but he did kill that dude that was had his hands up. Yeah. Like, yo, man. Yo, we're good,
Kyle,
right?
Kyle loved that scene. Kyle loved that one. Well, let's get into it. Let's get into it. Enough of me complaining.
Yeah, why don't we? Yeah. So we get a cold opening before the title sequence this episode, which I can't recall for sure, but I feel like we haven't had one of these scenes in a while. And it was a fantastic cold opening that Ashley Johnson, the voice actor for Ellie, reprises her role and honestly steals the entire scene, in my opinion. Well, that's not true because Meryl Dandridge is there too, and she is a phenomenal actress in her own right. So just like a lot of power between these two. But the entire scene, you know, she runs into this abandoned farmhouse. The infested is right behind her. As she's grappling with the infested, she gets infected.
You said it twice.
I know. I'm sorry. The viewers made it this far, or the listeners made it this far. They're going to stick it out. And she gives birth as they're wrestling, and she looks down and has a bite. And I just can't imagine. Like, I was trying to like put myself in her shoes, and it's just physically impossible having to deal with that absolute avalanche of emotions, like all at once. And honestly, I love how she looks down, kind of can't process it. And the maternal instincts are what trump everything. And she just looks at this child and allows herself this one like beautiful moment before she kind of has to deal with the reality. But I, once again, Ashley Johnson, like just fantastic job. The interaction with Merlene was phenomenal. And it gives us a lot of context about what Merlene's relationship with Ellie has been since the beginning. And kind of Ellie isn't nothing to Merlene. This would be a hard decision for her to make in her own right. But what were you guys thinking about this scene?
10 out of 10 backstory.
First and foremost, I mean, obviously the thought is a little bit irresponsible to get pregnant.
That's Kyle's always Kyle's thought, man.
During a zombie apocalypse. But skipping past that, this would be like the worst thing ever. Like, actually, two sides of that coin is this would be the worst thing ever for her as like a mother, because like, you know, you're running around and you're fucking giving birth while you're trying to also defend your own life, which is like the most insane scenario you could probably ever think of. But also, I guess the silver lining of that, I'm sure it was like the easiest, like quickest labor.
You're distracted.
Like, in history.
You're just distracted, like, and all of a sudden you look down.
Killed the infected or whatever.
Infested.
And then it was just boom, baby on the floor. I was like, all right, bet, let's get it.
I'm already hearing the DARS and all the whatever Jimmy said. It's coming back this week.
Jimmy was said DAR. Gosh. That was Jimmy.
Kyle said DAR and I said, what divisive. Did I say?
You divisive. Couldn't say it. You couldn't say it.
Yeah.
But yeah. But listen,
listen to her voice, just like blew me away, because it's just straight up Ellie's voice from the game. And I've never seen her do anything else. I'm not a huge video game guy. So if she was a voice actress in other games, I probably didn't play them. So she's Ellie to me. And at times I was just closing my eyes and be like, man, it's the exact voice. And it's like giving me chills here. And obviously, like the parallels to where she's like giving birth to Ellie and then she names her Ellie, and you hear it coming out of the Ellie voice actress's voice, you know, mouth. It was awesome. And Brian, I don't know. You can tell me if you know this, unless it was a Left Behind DLC content kind of thing. This was made up, right?
I believe so. And in the after credits, Craig Mazin was like, Neil came to me with this idea, and I was like, you have to do it. You have to include that scene. It adds so much. So yeah, I do think it was made up for the show.
It was.
And I know specifically like them giving her the reason for why, or not her the reason, but us the reason why she's immune. That's definitely for the show.
That was going to be exactly what I brought up, because I thought that was perfect backstory to Ellie. It explains so much. In the moment, I did have a few questions, like, was it because the infected's blood got on Ellie and kind of like spilled on her that was the reason why she was immune? But it turns out it was like the umbilical cord. It turns out that she was bitten. And then I guess the stream of the infected blood got a little bit into Ellie, just enough for it not to infect her fully and also provide her an immunity. So it was just
that's all you have to do from now on.
Yeah, it was a 10 out of 10 backstory. I'm actually surprised that it wasn't in the game. Like, it felt like so canon, like it just felt like it made sense that it was, that I didn't even think that it wasn't even going to be in the video game, which I actually really like that for you guys, honestly.
Yeah, I'm the way I think about it is that I don't want to think too hard about it. I'm just going to accept it. I don't know how, again, I mean, using the word realistic is probably not the best thing here, but like, I don't know. I'm whatever the explanation is. Sure, I'm okay with it. I don't want to think too much about it. I'm not interested in having like a reasoning like a conversation with it, because if I feel like I could be convinced that it's like a wacky bullshit explanation, and I don't want to hear it. So
yeah,
it makes enough sense to allow yourself to do that without much fuss. I agree with that.
Yeah. I think it adds the story enough where, like you said, Kyle, give me a reason, and it's a good reason. Yeah. Okay. And we don't need to break it down any further. I like that better than the video game that basically just said, hey, there's some cordyceps and it's infecting people and go kill the bad guys. You know, obviously that's very like very straightforward, I guess, not like, yeah, you know, surface level. That's not how the game really was. But I mean, it really didn't give us much of an explanation to why people were infected, except the background of maybe it was the wheat and stuff like that. And there was definitely, as far as I know, no background on why Ellie was immune.
And it was delivered in like the perfect scene, like just high emotion, just like we're all thinking way more about like what the fuck just happened than like trying to actually think about the fact of like the mechanism in which she, you know, was granted immunity is not really what I'm thinking in this scene. I'm thinking, holy fuck, that was insane. We just watched that. And then the second thing was that I was about to be so mad if Marlene didn't end up killing her.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah. How could you leave your friend to do it herself? Do you think Marlene was ever not going to, or she just lied to her for a hot second?
I think that's what it was. I think she was just like, I think she wanted to give her honest thoughts. Like, I'm not going to kill my best friend. But then she like reworked her answer based on the fact that, you know, her best friend is literally pleading for her.
So
you got to do it. So I think she obviously didn't want to do it. Once her friend says she wants to do it, then you got to just do it. Yeah. And it was great how she did it quickly too. Like, it wasn't like a whole like let's talk this out kind of thing. She just walked in.
Really? I don't know. I think that's an interesting conversation. I watched with Alki, Dave, and Luke, and I was just fucking with Alki. I was like, you know, could you kill me? And he was like, no. He said he would wait until I would turn. And I was like, okay, well, that's like A, making me suffer.
Right, because you don't know that
the transformation. Yeah. But he was like, we could just like get more time to like hang out. Like, we could actually talk and stuff. And like, I guess
that's
basically the Riley Ellie thing.
Let's go crazy together and then you can kill me. Well, that's what ends up having to happen. And I do like that in their own way, they gave us the answer that's the reason for the immunity, just to make sure, like, she tells Marlene, I cut the umbilical cord before I got bit, I swear. Yeah. But we know she didn't. And that kind of, even though it's like, you know, not straight up telling us that's the reason she's lying, it puts it in our head for us to go, okay, that's probably what the reasoning is.
And also, I think it fills in the blanks really nicely of like what happened after Ellie got bit and Riley dies, but Ellie survives and then she gets chained up. It makes probably the most sense that Marlene would have probably been the one to find her in the mall, because I'm sure Marlene was the one who really knew that Riley was in the mall, had told her she was going to come to Atlanta the next day. Marlene obviously knows Ellie wouldn't be someone that would just kill her right away, because I feel like if a Firefly found her, they would just kill her like any old Firefly.
I would imagine Marlene would be keeping tabs on Ellie regardless, just because
that was the promise.
It was Anna's daughter. The promise. Yeah. Exactly. So you're keeping tabs on her. You hear she gets bit in the mall, probably the first one on the scene. And then, yeah, it all makes sense. Like you said, I'm sorry, Jimmy.
And that's why I would say that Riley, when she asked Marlene, can Ellie come with me to Hotlanta? She was like, no, probably because she was trying to keep her safe and not go have to do the journey.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that gives us some answers on that. Because really, if you're thinking about it back then, especially when we're watching the episode, we're like, why freaking not? Why can't she come with her? If they're best friends, like, what do you care about? And we didn't know until, you know, obviously episode one is the present time or whatever. And then we have the flashback to at the time, we didn't think that Marlene knew Ellie yet. But now that we get this information, Marlene did know Ellie. She promised that she would protect her. It gives us some answers that I was good with. I was happy with.
Yeah, that's a fun part. I mean, that's a great thing about a finale. It's like when you can do like give us information and like tidbits that make us kind of rethink scenes that happen throughout the whole season. Like that's a fun and that's a good thing to have done.
Yeah,
in a finale. Absolutely.
And the recap before the episode was a long one. It went through every single episode of the season, probably for that reason. It was kind of cool, actually, being able to watch the whole thing. But This is also where Ellie gets her patented green jacket, her nice little switchblade, whatever you want to call it. And we send them on their way.
What's that thing where you can't hear, like tinnitus?
Tinnitus.
Yeah.
Tinnitus.
Yeah.
She was like, Marley was like, you know,
cover her ears.
And God didn't do it.
God didn't do shit.
It was so wild. It was literally the easiest thing to do ever. It's like, okay, let me just cover this baby's ears.
Tinnitus and reminds me back, of Archer. Have you guys ever watched Archer? Anybody here?
Yeah.
When they just hold their finger in their ear and they're just like mop, because of the tinnitus from all the explosions.
You ever see the episode, Dave, when he goes on a rampage?
Oh, of course. That's like an all-time Archer episode.
That's why I've been saying whenever Joel goes crazy, that's why I say he's going on a rampage. He totally went on a rampage this episode.
Yeah, he's like, Lana, you got to hype me up for the rampage.
Yeah. But going back to your question, Brian, when it came to Marlene, I was expecting her to keep the baby and tell the guy, go kill her, because she couldn't do it. And instead, she gave the baby and then said, and I obviously did it herself. But I was expecting her to be like, I'm not able to do it. You go do it.
If that's me and I'm the friend, you got to be Ned Stark say, the one to pass. Yeah. No, that doesn't fit here. Yeah. The one to pass the sentence.
She's not passing judgment, but yeah, chop the head off, dude.
If you're the friend, you got to be there. You carry out the deed. Kyle, I'd kill you, dude. That's what I'm trying to say.
You wouldn't want to have a little cup.
Here's the deal.
I do like Alki's idea. I do.
I was just going to say, I'm not against Alki where it was like,
we can reminisce. Maybe not for like waiting until I turn into a beast, but like,
maybe tell me,
take a beat.
Yeah, Kyle, you could tell me. You could be like, dude, I'm starting to get a little fuzzy here, bro. Yeah, and then I'll just shoot your freaking face off, you know? But I mean, you could tell, like, she was starting, unless it was just because she just had a baby, but she was starting to, like, kind of flinch and move. Yeah,
you could see it in the eyes. Like, she had purple, like, her eyes were kind of going purple.
And it was crazy. Like, she's sitting there, and Marlene walks in, and she's just standing there with the knife into her own neck.
Insane.
Where it's like, I guess she's just ready to push as soon as she starts feeling it with the baby in her hands. And then, obviously, you know the deal. You know, when you have a baby and all the care that goes to it, and she can't feed the baby. And who knows, like, would that have added immunity to Ellie, given some of that grade A breast milk from an infected?
Maybe that would have taken it too far and she would have
I mean, that's the thing, you don't know, and obviously she wasn't going to risk it, and she didn't even know that the umbilical cord thing did anything. That's all hindsight, but it's such, like, Kyle, you nailed it. It's such a bad situation to be in, one of the worst you could think of in this world that they live in.
I just want to shout out to Luke's reaction to her cutting the umbilical cord. He was like, oh my God, that's how that happens. Like, do you feel that?
Between House of the Dragon and The Last of Us, we're learning things, man. Jeez.
I think it's like tradition. They let the father just cut it with a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing also, I feel like compared to everything you've been through in labor up to that point, it can't be that bad. As I say, with having no experience.
Look at us, man, dissecting.
I'll let you guys know one day.
Can't be that bad. They shouldn't complain about it.
Yeah.
The only thing I was like scientifically wondering is if Ellie, as an infant, did turn, like, do you think that infant infected would be able to like survive? Like, do you think it would be?
Yeah,
like crawl really fast and like bite people and like survive off the nourishment. Like, or do you think they would just probably die right away?
Do you imagine like a 2 foot tall bloater?
Yeah.
Like an infant bloater.
Right? Oh,
king bloater baby.
Just a little bowling ball just rolling around.
a little bowling ball. My gosh.
That's a question I wanted to shoot out there.
B squared, man. That's actually, you just spoiled part two. That's like the main bad guy in part two. Bloater baby.
The bloater baby. Of course. All right. We ready to move on from this scene?
Yeah.
A great cold opening just sets the tone for an emotional rest of the episode. And we pick it up with Joel and Ellie, who are without a car at this point. So they're just doing their thing, walking to Salt Lake City. And immediately we can pick up Ellie has changed from the experiences of the last episode. She's just a little distant, quieter. Joel, for his part, has also changed, much more friendly, much more trying to get her out of this funk. But she's just not, she's declining his like bids for conversation, attention, whatever it may be. He finds Boggle, Chef Boyardee, nothing. He's like, oh, I saw Smash Guitar, but hey, would you be interested in learning guitar from me? Ellie months ago would be all over that, but no, not now. She's just, you know,
we got that line, and I was really hoping the season was going to end with Joel just singing to Ellie, because that's what she wanted. However many episodes, that was episode 3, I'm pretty sure, when she found out that Joel was a singer. So we would have liked to see Pedro bring out the vocals, but we'll save it for next season, hopefully.
Then there's that joke about the dynamite, how they always just go up into the high rise, look around, and he's like, well, I actually found some dynamite. Nah, just kidding. But
yeah, that was funny. They did a good job, and I don't even think it's basically more about the script than anything else, of just like how like out of place it felt, but that their roles were essentially reversed.
Oh, yeah.
Like really hard here. Hmm. And again, I mean, that's what we talked about at the end of our last podcast episode of, what is Ellie's mental state going to be like? Mm-hmm. What is his physical state going to be like? And hers, I mean, hers was, I guess, to be expected, unfortunately. His, I was like genuinely shocked at how like chipper and like upbeat and like upright he was. But I guess penicillin, they call it something like a miracle, right? So
I'm assuming there had to have been enough of a time jump. I don't know. Obviously, they don't give it to us how much it was, but there's got to be a little bit of a time jump to give him some time to heal.
That super bad winter went away pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bella Ramsey's acting in this was amazing, just because I was sitting there and I was like, Joel, ask her what's wrong. And then in my head, I'm like, I know what's wrong. I know what the hell's wrong. Like, there's nothing to say what's wrong. Like, because if he says, like, hey, like, what's wrong? You all right? She'd be like, well, you know, this guy tried to freaking kill me and eat me the other day. Like, you know, it's just one of those things you can't ask. And it made that that uncomfortable feeling through those scenes until like the joke with the dynamite, and that perks her up a little bit. And even, and you could tell, but through the boggle stuff, through the beefaroni stuff, she's just giving the fake smile, like the fake chipperness, you know, she's just trying to get through, and you don't know what she's thinking. You don't know what's going through her head. And it's really, it was getting to me doing that, even though I knew exactly the reason, but I was like, do they need to talk about it? No, I guess they don't. We know the deal.
Just hard to watch. Ellie, I think Bella Ramsey just portrayed that emotionless side of Ellie's just so well. It was brutal just seeing Joel for once actually trying to step out of his shell a little bit and make some actual interactions with Ellie, and her just kind of shutting him down, because we waited 9 episodes for that to happen. And of course, it had to happen under terrible circumstances.
Yeah. And honestly, Joel said before, like, Ellie, you're a kid. You shouldn't have to deal with this. But I'd say, all he can offer at this point is apologies, and that's not going to do her any good. She's just got to deal with it. And I think, you know, the scene where they have their heart to heart was needed, where he just puts it all on the line. But so we enter this construction zone, high rise, whatever it may be, and they do the iconic from the video games, drop down the ladder, I'll boost you up. That was just one of those mechanics from the video games that they use all the time. That was cool to see. And Ellie just unnecessarily like chucks the ladder down at him, sprints away. Ridiculous. I was like, okay, Ellie, I know you're a little upset, but you kind of just left him hanging there. But I would be freaking out too if I saw a giraffe. And this was just one of those beautiful scenes. I mean, it was copy and pasted right out of the video game. I remember being in the video game when you get the chance to overlook the herd of giraffes. And I was there looking at my TV, just like having a moment. Like I just stayed there watching
it's
it.
It's like
for,
you're
like,
there.
2 minutes, because it is like you're there. And they kind of captured that essence of the moment, I felt, very well in the TV show. What were you guys thinking? Were you expecting giraffes there?
Well, Dave was fucking out here spitting fun facts at us while we were watching. So that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah,
what
giraffes.
What was your fun fact?
Yeah. Giraffes' tongues are blue, so they don't get sunburned. Like 90% of their tongue is actually pink, but the tip of it is blue, so it doesn't get sunburned. Because all they do all day is just slurp down some fucking trees.
you've fed a giraffe before, right?
Yeah, I've also fed a giraffe before. It was very gross because their tongues are, at least when they full portrayal out, they could get like 4 feet long or something, like 3 feet.
And Jesus.
It was a little gross, but really cool experience. But yeah,
that mouth too.
But yeah, obviously it. when that mouth too.
No.
Really beautiful scene though. I honestly didn't expect the drafts. I was like wondering, because we were talking, like she had seen it, and then they had to proceed like up 4 or 5 flights of steps. And I'm like, what could she have possibly seen that would have like triggered this emotion from her, from being 5 floors below what she had actually seen? But it made sense and was also honestly really cool. I didn't expect it, even though I probably maybe should have, with the monkeys. We had seen the monkeys at the hospital, so. But did not expect a giraffe, to be honest. And what state are they in at this point? Like, is it Salt
Lake,
Utah?
Salt Lake, yeah.
probably just a zoo thing. Well, we're talking too, because I guess as they get up there and they start to have a little bit of a conversation, and she mentions they have like the, well, honestly, probably the beginning of their deep conversation of like, you know, you don't have to do this, and they open up and all that stuff. And she talks about like sheep herding and stuff. And we were talking, and I was like, why don't you just like herd the giraffes? Like, chill there. And you just like, dude, you just, I mean, as fucked up as it sounds, but that's a decent amount of meat. Those are some big boys. You just fucking start slaughtering, just raise giraffes, and you could probably live for the next at least like decades.
Some tough meat, but it would definitely, you would definitely be surviving for a very long time.
So you, but you know, there's like a 27 foot tongue that you can eat.
Yeah, the tongue meat would be alone enough to last a year.
Yeah. So speaking of several, like, you know, giraffes, butchering these giraffes, this giraffe was actually real. It wasn't CGI.
Oh, really?
And the giraffe's name was Nabo. That was the giraffe's name. And Bell Ramsey said it was like a spiritual experience. The location manager said, you know, you can do the CGI, but it's just not the same. So they went with real giraffes.
Nice.
Is all up on her. Yeah.
Because we were watching the perk. Yeah, we were watching the recap or whatever it is, the after the episode, and I might have been zoned out, but I did see them going through the actual shooting of that scene, but I couldn't tell if it was CGI or not. But it actually makes it way more awesome that it was a real giraffe and they were able to like get it perfectly in that position, you know, have the shot for Ellie to feed it. Like, it was so good.
So, yeah, and then they do proceed to the roof looking at the herd, and they have this nice heart-to-heart moment where Joel's like, okay, we're at the tail end of our journey, but I got to be honest, Ellie, we've done these things, and on the other side of the door, it's so often, time and time again, been something bad. It is not too late to just throw in the towel, call it quits, and have our little slice of heaven over at Tommy's compound with our dignity and our livelihood, our health still intact. And not a completely compromised morality, because that's what Joel's about to walk into. Yeah. Are you with me? And Ellie sticks to her guns. She's like, there's no halfway in this. We've made it all this way after everything we've encountered. We have to see this through.
So I mean, tough to think about.
I mean, you kind of have. Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree with Ellie. I mean, you're going to propose that they go home after what just happened to her, for that to like, for that event to have happened, and then for it to be absolutely worthless. It was like,
she's alive.
Yeah, I guess. but it was,
that's the argument, David. We're all gonna have it here, dude. We're gonna have it, don't you damn worry now. well here's the thing too, like, I think also, like, you could tell that Ellie appreciated that little conversation.
Yeah,
just because it's the first part. We get a lot more deep later, but it's the first part where Joel is kind of saying in his own code, like, I love you. Let's go, you know, be father and daughter at Tommy's. We don't need to do this anymore. You know, it used to be about the mission. It's not about the mission anymore. You know, we can go. And here's the deal. Like, this is obviously the big conundrum. At the time, Ellie's saying, let's finish this. Well, she doesn't know what let's finish this means.
Yeah.
For now, it could just be like, stick me with a needle and take my blood.
Yeah.
And she's fine with it. Who knows? And, you know, my personal opinion, we can get to all that later, but I would say she would probably still do it. But who knows what her actual decision would be when it's like, hey, they're going to rip your brain out and kill you.
She's like at a perfect age too, where like, she's fully going to believe in that, like, I'm the hero, like the savior.
Yeah,
not even in a bad way. She's just like not old enough to, like, I guess, have like more of a perspective about it. Cause, like, I mean, if you told me at, like, you know, 16 that I was like the one person that could save the world, like,
you're Harry Potter, like, dude, you're the chosen one.
Yeah. Like, let me, all right, let's get after, like, we're finishing this for sure, for sure. But if you told me now, I would be much more easily persuaded to, like, just go and hang out in the commune and like raise sheep. After like going through all this and being like, all right, fuck it, like, it's probably not even
you set up the pros and cons list, because we're older and we're like, all right, pros, maybe we saved the world. Cons, you could be taking my brain for no reason. I'm dead, man. You know, like, and I mean, I actually was waiting, and I know we're jumping a little bit, but I was waiting for Joel to say, when he's like, it's not your decision, and she's like, well, it's not yours either. I was waiting for him to say, well, she's freaking 14. And if you give her that decision, she's probably just going to not even realize the decision she's making.
Yeah.
That's why you have parents and stuff at that age. Now, you know, we can get into that whole thing later, whether it is right to say you don't have a decision and stuff like that. But again, that was a really good conversation to be had with Ellie and Joel. And then it gets a lot deeper as we get a little bit further. And Brian, I'm sure you're going to take us there now.
Yeah, so the setting of the second heart-to-heart is the emergency medical camp, which is another one of those settings that was pretty iconic from the video games. I remember just chilling in that area right before progressing through the events of the hospital. And they chose this. They did have pretty much this exact same heart-to-heart in the games. Yes, Jim?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so essentially it's revealed, you know, it wasn't just some random guy that missed. I was the guy that shot.
Really, really liked that, obviously.
Yeah.
Don't love that that happened, but that was a great callback to an earlier conversation and just like a great representation of how much their relationship has changed.
And it's obviously the perfect, unfortunately, like Kyle said, it's unfortunately the perfect time for him to unload this information on her, because I'm sure she herself is having thoughts of, you know, maybe not going fully through with it, but I'm sure she is not happy being alive right now. So I think Joel delivered this speech so perfectly, and it's unfortunate to hear it because we've all been there, like in a moment where someone just tells you, like, you know, time heals all wounds. Like, obviously in the moment it hurts, it fucking sucks, whatever it is. But I mean, unfortunately that is the answer. I mean, Joel, for whatever reason, he, like he said, didn't fully commit to it. And because of that, you know, he's now found a new purpose, which has been Ellie. One could have argued maybe it was Tess originally, because there's a long, you know, gap between that moment. All right, but it was
Tommy.
Ellie,
it was so. Probably for a while.
And then I feel like for Ellie, that was like her first time, like actually hearing Joel open up, like fully opening up about backstory, seeing him actually have feelings and emotions, and knowing that even this big, strong guy who I've looked up to and feel safe around also has these demons. I just think this was just a really well-delivered scene by Joel, and unfortunately the perfect time for Ellie. But I think Ellie, you could see the look in her eyes too, that, you know, again, it sucks now, but if Joel was able to overcome this kind of thing, then maybe so can I as well, even though Joel obviously is not the most perfect human either.
He delivered the, like, time didn't do it, or whatever the exact words are, perfectly. It was just like rap air horns, like give me everything, like fireworks shooting off in the background. Like, it was such a confirmation. Like, we obviously get
Ellie,
baby
double
girl
takes
at the end of last episode. Yeah, and she double takes as well. And it was just such good confirmation, obviously. Well, I would even say, I mean, like Tommy, I guess for a point maybe, but it feels like Ellie is actually the one that has like fully healed that void in him. She's fucking talking about Boggle and, you know, cracking dynamite jokes. Like, this seems like a completely new Joel.
Tommy was a motivation to stay alive, just to like get closure on that loose end. Ellie is someone he wants to stay alive for the sole reason he wants to keep her alive. Like, he just wants to be her shield. And I mean,
yeah,
the parallels to Sarah in this scene, if you didn't get it in the last heart-to-heart, this was him spoon-feeding her. I lost my daughter. You filled that role for me. I don't want to not. I'm sorry. I can't live without you anymore. I can't lose that again. It was just a fantastic scene. Very emotionally charged. And then they're kind of like, okay, we're out of that. No, what I could use is some shitty puns. So she whips out no pun intended, and they kind of frolic along, turn the corner. And the cinematography in this scene was insane. How just she gives three puns, and then on the fourth pun, you just see a dude wind up with a grenade, like in the blurry background, flashbang. Joel just gets a rifle to the head. Absolutely annihilated, but the Fireflies can't mess around, you know. And when he comes to, he's in a Firefly hospital bed, and Merlene is right there to give him the deal.
I'm glad that we didn't have to spend time with it being like, oh, who's this guy? Like, it was Marlene who recognized them and was like, let me just be there for when Joel wakes up. And she was also probably there because she knew how exactly
he
Joel
was gonna
react. Yeah,
and I think I kind of want to do get the exact quote of the explanation that the doctor gave, so we can make what we will of it. Our doctor thinks that the cordyceps has grown with her since birth. It produces a kind of chemical messenger. It makes normal cordyceps think that she is a cordyceps. It's why she's immune. He's going to remove it from her, multiply the cells in a lab, and then we can give it to everyone. He thinks it could be a cure.
As someone who majored in business, sounds perfect to me. sounds scientific.
That's the point.
Yeah. Here's my whole thing. I feel like this jabroni, that like he didn't have a test subject to come to these definitive conclusions.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
And there's no way she's that the test subject. He could have intaken her and in a matter of like hours. Kept her unconsious. He couldn't have run the test to confirm it. This is all hypothesis. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's sure. A long stretch of the imagination for people saying, oh my gosh, it's either Ellie's life against humanity's life. It's yeah. Like, it's that probably Ellie's life at yeah. A yeah. Shot in a prayer at possibly developing a cure. You couldn't mass produce it. You could, like, the logistics of it, it's not so black and white. He chose Ellie's life over humanity is something I want to establish. And
yeah, we were not thinking that in the moment.
Yeah.
I was because I knew.
Out. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, exactly.
Upset again.
But yeah. You worded it perfectly.
I mean, there was, you know, well, there was some substances yeah. Involved that may have altered our viewing experience, and we were just thinking, like, he is, like, this is so selfish. Like, she's gonna save the world, and he won't let her. So, and then I cooled down and saw some things on the internet, and I'm sure you're about to explain it good too. Of just like, yeah, maybe not like that.
He sees through Merlene. He's dealt with Merlene. He's like, cordyceps grows inside the brain. She's like, yeah, it does. Shit sucks. And then she kind of she has her two goons with her just there to like beat the shit out of him unnecessarily, in my opinion. But I think she knows Joel is really dangerous. Yeah. So you can't mess around with this guy. And then we get the payoff of the scene that they opened the episode with, because Merlene breaks it down how she is potentially the one person on the planet that could sympathize with him in this situation.
Yeah.
She's the only one that has a bond to Ellie, or probably more so Ellie's mom, but still a very strong connection to Ellie that would make her grapple with this situation more than your average human would. So she's like, Joel, listen, I get it, but Merlene doesn't have, Merlene's more practical. Maybe she can just see the larger picture. Maybe she's just been working towards this goal and I don't know. Merlene's a complicated character in her own right, but this was a very unsavory conversation between two people that I've come to respect throughout this entire season. And it is what it is, unfortunately.
I just love that, you know, Joel is obviously fuming at the idea, but Marlene just counters with, I'm the only person that would possibly understand that. And she really is. She's the only one. She's known Ellie technically longer than Joel has. Maybe they've spent more time individually together, but she has known Ellie her entire life. And it's obviously a difficult decision for her to make as well. But the one thing for me, was it clear here yet that Ellie did or did not have a choice in this? Did Marlene like say like,
this Ellie. Is the argument. Yeah, she's asleep. They told her. She says they told her that she's just going to sleep, like for tests or whatever. Like she has no idea what's happening.
See, yeah. I guess.
And that was supposed to be a comfort to Joel. Like she was literally saying that. So she's like, Joel, like she anything, doesn't know it's going to kill her. Like she's just going to sleep and she's just not going to wake up. Like, don't worry about it. It's not going to be painful for her. You know,
if anything,
yeah,
that made
I mean,
him want to fight for her, because he's probably in his mind thinking she never had a, even though she might have chosen to just sacrifice her life for everyone. But I think
that's the exact argument we knew we were going to have here.
I know.
This conversation.
Yeah, I know.
Merlene is not the out and out heroine in this situation.
No,
like,
definitely
it's not the good versus the bad, because she says later, you know, just as well as I would that Ellie would have wanted this. Well, why don't you put your fucking money where your mouth is? And why didn't you just ask her?
Yeah, just
she probably would have said yes, but you were so nervous she would say no. And then you would look like the bad guy to be like, you didn't actually have a choice. We're going through with this anyway. Shoot Joel, put the kid under. So
I would say that the smarter move would have been to ask her, like you're saying,
absolutely.
Brian, because if she says yes, then you literally shut Joel down in 2 seconds, because Joel and her can argue all they want. But if Ellie's the one who says, I want this, then Joel, I mean, I guess he can still do the exact same thing and go on a rampage and save her. And then she hates him. But, you know, there's the thing, like, instead of Marlene versus Joel, it's Ellie versus Joel. And then if Ellie says, no, you know what? You're right. I'm going to save myself. Well, then Ellie or Marlene could say, oh, I'm saving humanity. And it could be, I'm the bad guy. It's the necessary evil. I'm going to look bad and kill Joel and take care of Ellie and put her under and do the deal. You know, I just think that the whole not saying anything caused the rampage to be even worse.
Yeah.
And she could have had a chance of shutting it down if Ellie had the time to talk to Joel and be like, I'm doing this.
For Marlene, I mean, she is, I don't want to say the word compromised, but she obviously has an incredible bias in this situation. I mean, she is looking at the fact that Ellie, it has to work, because if it doesn't work, then everything that she's done has literally been for nothing. Like she says, they crossed the country. They, so many people died, like barely anyone made it to Salt Lake. Like she's definitely of the mind, like I guess trying to say that it was probably very easy for her to be convinced that, like, yeah, this is the right course of action. Like this is A, going to work, and like B, there is no other way. Cause it seems like, I mean, now that my mind is a little clearer and I've had some time to think about it, like hours might have passed and they were like already into emergency, you know, fatal surgery, like no level.
Oh yeah. It couldn't have been that long because he was only asleep.
Yeah, because if you're going to fucking save the world and this is your one shot, your one immune person, like you would maybe take a bead, think about all the different ways. It just seems, thinking about it is crazy.
I would imagine Merlin had this game plan ready to go.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Some quickly separate blood, Joel from Ellie, process her quickly.
Yeah, I agree
with you, B-Toms, that she probably had that thought in her head, but for me, when I was watching this the first time, my first kind of thought was, why are we jumping right to killing her and extracting the cordyceps? Like, okay, so we got the flashback in the beginning, which obviously no one knows her original, like Ellie's reason for being immune to the infected, but we saw that it had something to do with the blood. Like, I mean, that's, I mean, the umbilical cord is tied to the baby and it's got to be seeping in through blood. Not, again, I'm not a scientist, so I have no fucking idea. But to me, it's like if the immunity started from blood, again, nobody knows this, but they could at least run tests or something, give her, like Kyle said, a couple days of, you know, maybe we just draw some blood, we see what that does. Like, why was it immediately, let's just jump right to potentially killing this girl and sacking the only hope that we have?
Yep.
I'm not a scientist, so I don't know.
I agree. I
don't believe that she's thinking rationally. I really think that she's thinking of like let's get all this going. Of the fight that they've been through for so long, and it's like this is their opportunity. Like it's,
and they're just like, let's get this going, kind of thing.
Exactly. And I don't think she's really not thinking that rationally.
Yeah, and not necessarily that she is fully like this, but the Fireflies, you know, are like, hey, we're saving the world, like we're gonna, you know, whatever, overturn Fedra and we're gonna be the saviors, and it's like maybe she's saying, oh, this is for a reason, like we found Ellie and, you know, it's gonna work, it has to work because it's gonna make the Fireflies actually win and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But I guess you have to assume that she was there to save Ellie from, you know, when the mom was dying. The mom says, I cut the umbilical cord before I was bit, which does not make sense at all,
and which should now process in Marlene's head that that probably wasn't true either.
Unless you're really saying like, I had the baby, I cut it, and then the freaking infected came in, I like threw the baby aside and just started but anyway, what I'm trying to say is she went all those years, 13 years, put Ellie in ephedra school, whatever, okay, then Ellie gets bit, then she's immune. Is that the moment where Marlene is saying maybe that has something to do with the intro that we saw? Or is it just, you know what? Hey, she's immune and I'm going to figure out why she's immune and I'm going to save the world. Because
it should be option one.
If she doesn't have that conjecture, then it's even worse. If she doesn't have that conjecture, then it's literally, hey, we have this immune person. We're going to give her to a surgeon for, like you guys said, 3 hours, 2 hours, 1 hour. And now we're going to rip her brain out without like...
I think like
testing the blood or doing whatever, you know.
I guess I'm curious of what do you mean by like have that conjecture and like taking that thought, continuing it through a logical progression,
like in terms saying,
of like farming out people that are pregnant to then get bit and have babies.
No. I'm saying because she kind of gives a quick explanation to what the doctor said. Like the doctor ran some tests, Joel, and he says that it's because whatever the cordyceps think that she's also a cordyceps and blah, blah, blah. And does that mean that like Marlene already had that like hypothesis when she found Ellie was immune? Was she like, hey, you know what? Maybe freaking Anna was lying and she didn't cut the cord. And why she's immune. And I'm not saying that like let's start farming people, but I'm saying like maybe his reasoning, meaning the doctor, matching her reasoning. that quickly was like, all right, well, we both must be right, and let's just go do it.
If that's
not a conjecture, then she's basically just believing one guy and taking someone's brain out who's the only immune person that they found in however many years.
I just don't think they thought about it. I would like to have Marlene think that, you know, she could make those connections of, okay, there was something definitely sketchy with Anna, the birth and everything. But to me, how this episode played out, she didn't take that into account at all. And they were just like the second opinion you were saying with just like,
yeah,
we got confirmation from one person. Yeah. It makes her look worse. And that's how I took it personally.
Yep.
I saw
that was really me playing devil's advocate just to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're not in favor of farming out pregnant women.
I don't think so. An army of immune soldiers.
Okay.
So I'm not on the like side Jared of farming giraffes. I don't want the giraffes. I want sheep.
Okay.
And I don't want pregnant women either. I just want that to be known on the podcast. Okay.
I totally had a thought and I lost it.
There was a funny video and I might have seen it. Oh, so if you want me to say my funny video.
Well, maybe not funny video, but just talking about like this idea of the doctors being so confident, like that this has to happen. And that we saw, I guess it's episode, was it 4 maybe? With the fungal expert from the Indonesia or the Philippines.
The flashback with the bomb.
No vaccine. Yep. Like you can't make a vaccine for this kind of shit. Like it's just, you have to bomb it. You have to just kill people. And I mean, I guess I would assume that that truth still holds. I mean, I don't, obviously medicine has not progressed in the 20 fucking years since you know, she made that statement and everything got bombed to shit and no one, you know, did anything probably innovation wise in the medical field. So it's just, once I heard those words, I was like, okay, wow, that completely changes my opinion on Joel's decision. And obviously I don't think maybe he was thinking that, but like it makes so much more sense now that, I mean, I bought in hook, line, and sinker. I was like, oh, that sucks, man. Like, I didn't think she was going to die because obviously there's a second game. But I was like, and Dave, I made that joke in the beginning when you were like, as a business major, that makes sense to me. And I was like, yeah, I mean, they fucking sold it to me. I was like, yep, all of those dots seem to connect. That makes a lot of sense. It's very unfortunate for Ellie. But I mean, hey, what are you going to do?
I like that you brought up that the saying that there's no cure for it, because I mean, maybe Joel may or may not know that. Maybe that quote didn't reach the public, but either way though, it does. It's got me thinking now, maybe I have been a little harsh on it, but again, that's what's also great about having this podcast is I can change my mind a little bit through other people's, you know, perspectives and everything. But Joel has always said throughout the season that pretty much he doesn't believe that humanity is ever going to get back to the way it was. Like,
right.
Ellie's asking him questions like, what do you plan on doing, like, if this all blows over? And he pretty much like scoffs at first. He's like, ah, like this is never gonna end. And you know, there's been plenty of inklings that Joel has just never been one for humanity. So with all that combined with the knowledge that we as viewers know of, you know, it's incurable, also that Joel really has no faith in ever curing humanity, that to me also kind of makes me feel a little bit better about, okay, I see why he went on this rampage. Like, to him, there's just never been a hope, even with Ellie's immunity. There's never been a hope for him. So, and again, probably using the logic that we've all deduced that, you know, medicine hasn't progressed in these, you know, 20, 30 years. So how is it all of a sudden going to just be an instant cure for everybody? So I'm glad we talked that out, because I do feel a little bit better about why he went on that rampage.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And Kyle, is this the video you were saying where they were talking about like how the Fireflies are like med students?
Yeah, they had to have been med students or med.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I mean, unless I'm, you know, really just like, again, business major as well, unless you can talk me into this or not, I'm pretty sure on the video they said like, even to this day, you haven't found like any kind of cure for fungal infections. So that's why they were kind of making fun of the whole thing and saying it's stupid that you could think that. And
That's a classic too, like Dunning-Kruger effect, where like you start to learn about things and think you know everything, and then you learn more about things, and you're like, oh, I literally know nothing about anything. And then so it's, they're probably on the higher end of that beginning kind of rise up, where like, oh yeah, this would totally work. I know enough about this.
Oh yeah, sounds right.
Yeah. Do you want to talk? I mean, I guess we're kind of pussyfooting around it, but I guess we should talk about the actual rampage of the deeds that he does.
Yeah. Wow. So these two bozos are tasked with leading him out to the highway. To be fair, Merlene gives them the knife and instructs them to give him the knife, but they don't make it to the highway and he just takes a knife off their corpse.
Alki was fuming throughout this. He's like, why is she leaving Joel with two bodyguards? Like pretty much saying that Marlene was an idiot for only having two bodyguards with
him. These two bodyguards are dumb. Have this guy walk like eight steps in front of you. He can't like
you have a gun.
Guard.
Seriously, they didn't watch the tapes. Like they didn't get they didn't watch the game tape on Joel because they literally are antagonizing this guy, hitting him in the back with the butt of the gun and be like, come on, bitch, walk forward. Let's go. Like it's like you're asking for it.
In the room was like shouting him out that he got Ellie there.
Yeah.
And everyone that she was with had died. And like obviously he's a crazy guy. Like it's just like an insane oversight.
And then she's like, all right,
especially in the stairwell. I guess they didn't really have a choice, but once they got into the stairwell, I was like, dude, they are in so much trouble right now. In this confined, just like away from everything else location. Like they're just toast.
And this is like typical to like, it needs to be this way for the story, because if you're Marlene and you really believe in what you're doing, lock him in a room, do the surgery, and then say, okay, it's done. Now you can go, or you could be a problem and we'll kill you. Don't just like let him go in the middle of it knowing that two of your bros are going to get their ass whooped and he's going to come back on a freaking rampage.
I'm going to be honest. Oh, I totally thought he was at least just going to knock him out. As soon as he pulled the trigger, I was like, this isn't stopping anytime
soon. This isn't good.
Like this guy's going to just go down the rabbit hole of murder. Cause I literally just thought he was going to disarm, knock him out, leave him there and run sprint there. But nope. Anyone that moved was literally fucked.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't have anyone like that could speak on the fact, I guess he doesn't kill the nurses, that like that he did this is what I kind of felt like, but it just like kept, not, I don't want to say worse, but it kept getting like crazier and crazier because he kills two guys and I was like, holy shit. And then he's just cold blooded, dude. The one guy surrenders, he pops him, he shoots the one guy like once and asks a question, is like, he has the second guy. I was like, I don't fucking have time for this shit. Just kills him. I was like, oh my God.
It was really so crazy. I just didn't expect to see that side of Joel. Honestly, I didn't expect to see the side of Joel again because of how, you know, I mean, granted, Ellie was in a dark place, but he was, you know, pretty positive and pretty fatherly earlier in the episode. And I guess
this does kind of father instincts, man. He's got to
protect
that.
And I was going to just say, it does kind of tie in, I guess, to those father instincts. But holy shit. Yeah. When the guy was pleading, I was like, we've seen this before. Multiple people have pled for their lives in front of Joel and he shows no mercy. So there was no way that guy was making
that guy definitely didn't watch the tape.
Yeah.
No,
the doctor
did no film study before he got into that fight. Yeah.
The doctor was.
Did you guys think he was going to have any compassion for clearly the surgeon, like the brains behind the operation, or did you think he was just going to be another body?
I laughed so hard when that fucking bozo picked up a scalpel.
I won't let you take her. Like,
yeah.
All right, bud.
Jump of the year right there.
Yeah, maybe for the
Joel
splits.
Just puts one clean in his brain. It was like, all right, get this fucking bozo out of here.
Maybe
you
for the
unstrap her. Let's get out of here.
For the split second that the doctor didn't have the scalpel, I was like, okay, like Joel maybe will let him live because he is a doctor and he's important. But the moment he picks it up, it's over. Like there's not a thought in my head that this guy's gonna live.
So long
like,
as that doctor's alive too, there's still a chance he's gonna want to do this operation in the future. Like he says to Merlene before he does the deed, you'll just come after her.
Yeah, I just
I
guess, you're a doctor or whatever, Hippocratic Oath, which I'm sure has gone out the window since the world went to shit.
Yeah, what Hippocratic Oath now?
But, like, if you're going to do that, like, you got to, like, pick up the scalpel and just throw it immediately. Like, what are you doing fucking trying to wield it and, like, threaten him with it?
He didn't watch the tape, man. The Fireflies as a whole skipped film
session. Knife to the gunfight.
Yeah, he turned around. He's turned around.
Literally
Joel.
Just riled Joel up a bunch and was like, nah, like we're gonna kill your little girl. And then
I'm gonna be
in
the parking lot.
It was like,
it's just honestly, yeah, I'll meet you in the parking lot. Jesus, that's hilarious. I mean, yeah, it's again, it's totally for storyline purposes to give him an availability to be going on this rampage. But I mean, Pedro's acting, my goodness, like stone cold face, but you could tell no thoughts in his head. Seeing red, only Ellie's face that he's just trying to get to Ellie. He obviously gets there just in time. You see that they're getting ready to like do it. Like he's the doctor says something like, all right, is she out? Like, do we have enough power? All right, let go. So, and he said, let go.
Yeah,
and
that was from
that's
the script.
That's what pissed Joel off. You know, he's like, oh, she's going to kill this girl. And now he's joking, saying, let go. Come on. But you know, and then he cold blooded just kills the surgeon. And I've been through this. I played the game a few times. Oh. I know the ending. I've been through this, Kyle. I've saved my daughter before. My daughter before from the zombie
had
apocalypse.
To shoot through a hospital.
I was dying at the guy tweeting saying it took him 5 hours to get through the hospital, but it takes Joel 2 seconds. But anyway, I wasn't sure what he was going to do to the nurses. You know, I didn't know if he was going to pop them too. I mean, it's one thing, and that's why The Last of Us video game is like groundbreaking, one of the best games of all time. The cinematic portions of it are like you're watching a movie, but I don't want to like put down any kind of video games, but there's nothing like seeing it acted out on like TV or a movie. And it was just like, it hits you way harder. And when this is happening, I'm like, oh my, Joel's ruthlessness and his aggression and his stone coldness and his like lack of emotion on the outside, but you know what's going on the inside. Lack of mercy, like it was getting me a lot harder seeing it come from Pedro than it did watching the cinematic part of the video game. What'd you say, Kyle?
It was getting you a lot harder.
Got him.
Yeah.
the montage scenes were crazy though. It was just like the music was perfect. Like that, not like, like everything else was kind of quiet almost, just the music. And like, it was so well, just like the shot always placed on his face, like him like checking corners. First of all, we made the mistake earlier, I guess, thinking he was the one in the army. How was he not in the army? Cause he is just
right?
an
he
efficient killer in this part, which was crazy. And the second part is I'll call myself out here as we were watching, and I just kept saying that this is literally an all-time selfish move. Like, this might be the number one most selfish thing I've ever seen in my life. This is when I was on team, obviously the surgery's going to work and the cure will happen. Looking back now, it's like whatever, but watching and we were like, holy shit, this is the most selfish thing I've ever seen in my life. And I just watched 3 seasons of Succession in like 3 weeks, so that was fucking saying something.
So did you guys only come around to this train of thought right now as we're talking it out, or between the episode dropping and getting on the mic, did you kind of be like, okay, I'm a little bit more sympathetic?
I was helped literally by the internet and this conversation.
Literally was this podcast for me. Cool. Like, I came in wanting like fresh opinions of unbiased and just like wanting to let loose. And I'm glad you guys actually, I do feel a lot better about this rampage now after having discussed all of it. The only other thing I'll say is Joel sexist, like, for not killing those nurses. Like, he's only killed men, right?
So if it was a male nurse, you're saying he would have killed them?
100%. He would have fucking murdered them if they were male nurses.
Well, I wonder why. I guess it was maybe not worth the time. Sexist. I guess it would have been quick, though. I don't know.
Sexist.
But
they're the only ones that I guess didn't have any kind of weapon. Like, we were, I mean, the scalpel.
But they would have been just as guilty as the fucking doctor, the surgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you saw them. They were like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, they were like, very much so, like.
But we've also seen Joel murder those kind of people.
Oh no, dude, trust me. Like, even if you're sitting here and you're fully on Joel's side, we're not saying it's not selfish what he did. I mean, he just literally went on a rampage and killed all of these people to get Ellie back. It's not, even if you believe that Joel's 100% right, you can't say like, is it worth those freaking deaths? Like, you know, it's one of those things, but. Now, if you're on Marlene's side, now you're like, holy shit, this is definitely the most selfish thing I've ever seen in my life. But you can't pretend like it's still not ridiculous that he did that.
Yeah. I wonder now, I mean, they introduced the concept to us in, well, I guess, with the David episode of like the consequences of his actions. And I mean, he killed what? That was like 10, 12 people. I mean, Marlene, Jesus Christ, she's a probably somewhat well-known figure. So like, does him killing Marlene, probably beyond Ellie, obviously Ellie has the connection to her, but like just the Fireflies in general, like the Fireflies done now. Like, I'm sure there's, you know, there's somewhat of a decentralized force. It feels like, will they hear about this? Are they going to want to hunt Jill down? Like, I mean, obviously we're getting ahead of ourselves there, but like, I mean, he killed one guy in episode 6 and it created an entire episode. Ellie almost fucking got raped and killed. So like, what the hell is going to happen after he killed a dozen people, especially someone that's high profile?
And one of those, the leader of the Fireflies.
Yeah.
Or their division in that area or whatever it is. But she's pretty much one of the big dogs. And to what you were saying, Dave, can you imagine, though, even if you're on Joel's side, I feel like the nurse thing was by design, because if he just popped both those nurses, then you're like, okay, dude, even if I believe that you're saving Ellie, you literally just popped two innocent nurses that weren't attacking you and trying to save Ellie. My thought process when it came to all those people dying, where they were all armed and stuff and they, you know, whatever, I feel like he probably knew that after he grabs Ellie, he's going to be carrying her and he can't be like leaving them alive to fight back. You have to just take him out so that you have a clear way out.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's a good rationale or not to say, or, but I mean, again, if you're on Joel's side and you're shocked by him killing all these, you know, people that are armed, and then these two nurses are like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like freaking out. And then he just pops them too. Like, I feel like that's going to push you a little bit over the edge against Joel.
You're right. The other people were more like were physical obstacles, like in his way, like actually standing in his way, where those nurses were just
especially
the
guy who put his gun on the ground and his arms up. Yeah. That guy was begging for it.
But
well,
but,
if you want,
Ryan,
he could
have picked that gun back up later. He could have picked it up back later.
Very
when
true.
When he was coming back.
Well, to bring it full circle, if you are anti-Joel in this decision, you can just add Joel is also sexist in his rampage to the list of anti-Joel reasons.
Yeah, it's very true.
So I believe this is a cinematic from the game. He picks her up in his arms, goes to the elevator. It's a nice elevator ride down. You emerge in the parking lot and you're confronted by Merlene. I loved how they broke this scene up, made it a little disjointed. They kind of get the front half of the conversation and then we cut to the car scene and then we get the meat of the quote unquote conversation, if you will. But she essentially just says, listen, Joel, you can't save her forever. And the reason for that is because she lives in a broken fucking world where zombies rule the day and people just kill other people in the streets like you just did here. That cycle is never going to be broken. And eventually she'll die from raiders, from infected, et cetera, et cetera. But if she sacrificed herself here, we could have fixed the world that we live in and the rest of humanity could have a regular life. And then she also placed the card, you know, that Ellie would have wanted the same thing, which is flawed reasoning, because as I've already said, she never asked Ellie her opinion.
Right.
But she also at this point extends Joel one final olive branch and says, even after everything you've done, we can still fix this. I'm still alive. You're still alive. And Ellie is still alive. We can still make this work. Joel doesn't want to make it work.
Yeah, I love
bozo. Get out of here.
I love how they
just
broke
another
it
bozo
up.
To him.
Yeah, get out of my lobby, kid.
Yeah.
Now, if you're Kyle and Dave and Luke and Alki probably, and you're sitting there and you have that specific opinion at the time that Joel is selfish as shit, you're probably like, yeah, Marlene, you're totally, you know, like she's saying everything that you're believing.
We didn't go that far.
Yeah, but basically she was saying,
yeah,
I'm not saying
like
that she's
fully, we weren't fully rooting for her, but to me, for first time watching her argument was a little bit logical. It was a little bit logical for sure. I mean, she could have definitely, again, at the end of the day, this all could have been avoided if they just asked Ellie what she wanted. But I think for me, to go into what B-Times was saying, how they broke it up, I think there was a moment for me where, you know, Marlene is talking to him and he does look sad. He looks sad, to be honest. He looks straight up sad, depressed about everything that had just happened. And even though he did just come off that rampage, there was a moment that I thought, okay, maybe Marlene reaches him in some way. Maybe they make some kind of ultimatum, whatever. But they come back to the scene and Joel fucking fires the gun with Ellie right like over the gun.
It's like an old Western.
That gun was pointed the entire time, dude.
Yeah, I was shocked. I know Luke for sure was shocked. We were just sitting there like screaming, and then there was like silence because we just had to process what had just happened. But the way they broke it up, like you said, B-Toms, I think that was the best way they could have approached the situation, because it did give me some ups and downs of like, what the fuck is going to happen to Marlene? Is she going to be a recurring character for season two? Or is this going to be it for her? And Joel, in that second shot of them talking, doesn't even give us a second to question anymore. Just says, you're just going to come after her anyway, and then pulls the fucking trigger. So badass, but fuck, he's so messed up right now.
Kyle, it sounds like you also may not have had a chance to even catch your breath, but between the conversation, the car scene, and then flashing back to Marlene, did you think Marlene was going to make it out of that parking lot?
Probably at the time. Just, you know, a little bit of the hopeless romantic in me that it was all going to work out in the end. But, yeah. I mean, the gut shot is a tough look. And he just puts Ellie in the car and just comes right back and executes her. And I was just like, only thought was just that was fucking brutal.
My other thought,
think that's how she was going to go out.
My other thought was personally is like, Marlene gets shot a lot, because wasn't she like, she was shot.
She was shot in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I was like, in my head, I was like, yeah, Joel's just going to let her go. And then she's going to have just another bullet wound in her stomach. But no, that bullet wound is going right to the head.
Well, yeah, maybe the nurses maybe could have saved her.
Yeah.
She's a tough cookie.
Should have killed them when
too.
He had a chance.
Yeah. I was just, I don't know. I think, dude, her like begging for her life and him just like not even breaking stride, pop, and then out was like, whoa, okay, holy fuck.
So it was kind of shades of episode 3-4, the first episode in Kansas City with my namesake Brian. Yeah, Ellie's first quote-unquote kill, he was begging for her life. He does it with the knife there. I couldn't imagine knifing someone who's begging for their life. My gosh, Joel is a cold son of a bitch. That's the only thing we can know for sure.
Yeah,
but I mean, let's kind of dissect this. Ellie waking up in the back seat, just asking, and he gives a fluff story, and it's obviously a fluff story. I think Ellie knows it's a fluff story.
Yeah,
it just doesn't add up. It stinks all over. But
yeah, you can really tell when they, you know, get out of the car
on the hike,
and they're hiking, and he's again like the beginning is very talkative, and she's off it again, but you can tell it's a different off it than when she was off it in the beginning of the episode. Yep. And it's just like a really, really weird vibe. It was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's also like, I mean, that's like the biggest lie you could, I can't even imagine a bigger lie that you could ever tell someone,
right?
And like try to play it off in a convincing way. Like, I don't think he has the emotional range to play it off in a convincing way anyway. It was just like, it's tough to watch.
I mean, it's one thing where you're deciding to lie. Now, this lie isn't just, hey, I'm lying to you. It's also, I'm giving you the answer that you did not want to hear, that everything we did was for nothing and you're not special. Like, it's just never going to get fixed. The world is not going to ever get fixed. There's a couple other immune people. It didn't work. Sorry, bro. That was what she was worried about. Now, it's also, besides that point, pretty much an obvious lie, like you guys said. Whether, I don't know how obvious it was to her, but she turned around in the back seat, gave him the back, and was, you know, obviously acting weird for the walk, and then we get the conversation.
And that conversation coming right off the back of him bringing up Sarah again,
so,
and he's
weird.
It is. But he's making these comparisons that, like, she always showed an interest in Sarah and what his life before, you know, the outbreak was. So like, him finally sharing this, usually she would be all about that and welcome this conversation, but she cuts it off right then and there, is like, swear to me that you're telling me the truth. And I mean, Joel's making a conscious decision to build their entire relationship out of this lie, because
that's just tough.
And I mean, I don't know the second game and what's going to happen with Joel and Ellie. I think right now, right here at this conversation, Ellie can see through his bullshit, but she just can't allow herself to call him out for it, because she loves this guy. This is all she has now, and she has to accept him for the flawed human being he is. And I think she's trying to protect herself by not getting the details that she probably knows happened. All she asked was, did people get hurt and is Merlin okay? And the answer to both of those questions was yes and no. Mm-hmm. That's all she needs to know. And that means that Joel was the one behind it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm curious too. One thing I will say, I like that she kind of led with like, hey, I'm going to tell you a secret and then maybe you could tell me a secret. Tell her a secret, but I thought that was fairly smooth by her. But the second one, I just like going into the second season, like what is like the level of like I'm going to, you know, a very popular buzzword, like how is she going to gaslight herself into like trying to believe that this shit is like, you know, he's telling the truth, quote unquote, or like it's not that big of a deal? Because I mean, she literally says okay, and I guess that's obviously an iconic line from the game. I mean, she has, Bella Ramsey tweeted it out, and you know, I think Neil Druckmann tweeted it out, and it's just obviously, I feel like I got the vibe from the okay of like, okay, I know you're lying and you're not gonna fucking tell me the truth, but like we'll have to deal with that later.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this one, obviously, I'm devastated that he doubled down on the lie, because you could really hear it in Ellie's voice when she asked him, like, I want you to be honest with me, that she was, I don't even think she said that, but you could hear it in her voice that she wanted honesty from Joel. And my question was, like, do we think Ellie believes him? I also am on your side, B-Toms, that I don't think Ellie fully believes Joel and that everything he said was correct in her mind. Like, she knows definitely something's off, but this for me obviously is such a big lie that I think this is worthy of them like completely splitting up. Like if this truth does come out, like I think this would be worthy of her going her separate way from Joel and honestly leading to this death of Joel that Kyle's been foreshadowing since episode one. But yeah, I could totally see it that maybe in like season two, I think you said, Jimmy, you're the only one here that's played the second game at least, correct? Just me throwing out a theory, obviously no spoilers, please. But like, I'm just thinking like maybe, you know, truth comes out, they have a whole rift, they have a whole split up, whatever. And then Joel in his dying breath is like, look, I just wanted what was best for us. You, maybe I didn't think this out fully. Like I didn't get your full opinion on this. I just kind of broke you out of that hospital, but I just want you to know that this was something deep down that I felt like was the right thing to do. And that I could see, you know, playing into a part of Ellie's
Joe and Kelly.
Ellie's development later on. So I could see this being a path for Joel's death eventually.
Joel's final breath after Ellie shoots him.
God, that would be full circle.
That would be crazy. I don't think that's good.
I'm not saying a word, but what I will say quietly, actually, I'm going to allow you guys to decide if you want to look this up or not. But Ashley Johnson, the voice actress, because part two has been out and that storyline is complete, you know, everything for that is complete. If you're not if you're only a fan of the show, it's obviously not complete, but the game part is. And she was asked what okay meant in her opinion, and she gave an answer. So if you want to look it up, I don't know if it's too much of a spoiler. I don't know. It wasn't really given any too much context into part two. So you could it's just like, this is how I played it out. You know, this is how I acted it. And this is what I was thinking. I wasn't told this, but this is what I was thinking when I said it. And if you're interested, check it out.
I'd be interested in that.
Yeah, same. I mean, that's kind of all the plot of this episode. I guess we should open it up before signing off. Just broad strokes, thoughts of the season, or just generally speaking about this episode. I mean, I feel like we're all on the same page here. This is an elite show in my eyes. Mm-hmm, I think the production value is just through the roof, which we come to expect from HBO series. I think it's one of the best, if not the best, and I'm actually inclined to say probably is the best video game adaptation ever. Nothing else is really coming to mind.
I don't have anything that comes to mind off the bat. And not until Super Mario.
I was just gonna Super say, Mario. Yeah, Super Mario movie hasn't come out yet, so
it's on its way, baby. What about Super Mario from 1989? You didn't like that movie?
Is that the live action one?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Don't bring that in here.
I don't even know if I
wasn't alive then. I've seen it before. I was born a year later, but I did watch it when I was younger because I was obsessed with Mario.
There you go.
So what's your rating for it?
For Super Mario Brothers movie?
Yeah.
It's like a a 0.5.
Would you rather watch that or Dragon Ball?
Close to The Last of Us.
No, I was going to say, would you rather watch that or Dragon Ball Evolution?
Dude, Dragon Ball Evolution is like
we're
one of those
so sidetracked
ones.
Right now.
Going back to college, I was actually just talking to Luke about this when we were talking about one of the Last of Us episodes, and it came out when I was in college, and we literally just watched it so many times because of how bad it was. It was so bad, it was good. I haven't seen the Mario movie since I was like 10 or 5 or 8, so I can't speak to it, but
okay. Evolution.
I'm going to go with Dragon Ball Evolution.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking funny.
But let me take us back to your question, B-Toms. I think overall, I had mentioned this last episode, I think my expectations were to make for this show to be a lot more of a zombie movie, you know, a lot more clickers. But once you kind of change your mindset and kind of start to realize that this is a show just about humanity itself and just people being desperate and what people are willing to do in order to survive themselves, I think this is an incredible show. I really think this is like the production value is obviously there. Like everything just looks so real. I think Bella Ramsey absolutely killed it. Daddy Pedro always is going to kill it. So I was pleasantly surprised. Well, I guess not pleasantly surprised. There were some high expectations for this show coming in because it's HBO. It had the budget and they met expectations for me. I mean, obviously, I hate a cliffhanger like this as an ending, but you know, how else are they going to keep the money going for the next season? So this episode was really good. Maybe not in my top three, but still a very solid episode. And overall, the show, I'm excited to make this a staple of Bingetown TV in the future.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can't say maybe what like I had an expectation of in terms of like how good it was going to be, but obviously HBO Max kind of pulls out a lot of the stops for these things. So I expected it to be very good. I had a fucking blast. I mean, it was really fun to podcast about. I don't think that, like Dave had mentioned earlier in this, sometimes there's shows where when we podcast about them, they don't really hold up as well. Or it's like when we actually talk things out and it's like, oh, okay, I don't think I like that anymore. I don't really think that happened at all with this show for me. Mm-hmm. If anything, obviously, it probably added to the enjoyment of it, which is just like a good sign overall. I remember in the beginning being like really interested in like power brokers in the world. Obviously, I had no real concept of what the world was going to be like at that point. Looking back, I kind of like how it really is kind of just pockets of people, just wherever anyone can fucking scrape out a living, that's where people are. There's not really like, I guess the Fireflies very loosely, but they themselves seem fairly decentralized. I mean, we're running into just random groups of people in places. Who knows if that will change in the future? I'm really looking forward to maybe building out the world a little bit. I highly doubt that season two is just like a self-contained drama in Tommy's commune in fucking Montana. So I'm excited, I guess, to see more of the world and meet different characters. It was just really fun, devastating, just like wacky, crazy to just like meet all of these side characters, even for an episode, and just have it feel something by the end of that one self-contained episode story was just like beautifully done. Episode three was something I will, you know, I don't think I could forget that episode. I mean, it was literally so fucking good. And episode five was great. Episode eight was fantastic. This finale was a very good episode. I mean, Joel moving through the hospital was like emotionally one of like just like smacked you in the fucking face, like adrenaline, like heart beating. Like that's what you want out of your fucking television shows, especially the Sunday night appointment viewing type of show. So they fucking hit it out of the park in my eyes as someone who obviously had no prior experience with the story.
Yeah. One expectation I have for season two is I think in episode one or two, they had mentioned, you know, Atlanta, you know, being a point of, you know, drugs and weaponry. So I wonder if they'll ever, because we've only ever been, you know, to the west, a little bit north. We haven't really seen the south a little bit. So I'd be interested to see if they go the route of it, like going to Atlanta, you know, working some deal out with these people, or, you know, maybe they get word of Ellie being immune and they're the ones maybe seeking her out in season two. So either way, I think Atlanta would be a good start, or at least to bring it up again.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess like, are things actually as hopeless as they seem? I don't think I have an opinion either way at this point of whether I would prefer, like, it really is just we're scraping to survive, or there is some type of ending where, you know, we kind of quote unquote win.
I think Tommy's place gives us a A hope. That's a win. At least it's a hope. Yeah, it's like maybe not a full on win.
Like a win. Yeah, maybe half a win. Getting a B. Maybe
it's better than David's place. It's the best place. Actually,
damn right.
Oh, it's better than David's place. Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say
because your name's David doesn't mean you have to.
No, I was gonna. I was actually thinking of. Sorry, episode three. That like that place might also be in the contention of wanting the places
that's
to
probably,
stay.
Yeah, I would say that's. I mean, again, that's probably getting a B. I guess a win in the sense of
is community like a community. Yeah.
Well, no, like is this well, just here. Life now? Yeah, like,
yeah, like can you fix
the
it?
Infected there thing, or can we ever end up building back or something? I guess I'm excited to see how that happens. Like I said, I don't have, I can't possibly formulate an opinion on what I prefer. It feels like it's going to be more of like a hopeless, this is just kind of how we have to eke out our survival and the story of that and how people deal with that, which I would be okay with.
I actually like, you said at the beginning, I like that we're getting a video game two kind of broken up into two seasons. I feel like this show definitely has the ability to like, and especially with what they have in the video games and the ability to add on to it. I just feel like it's a good thing that they, it's not like they went out and said, all right, we're coming out with six seasons of The Last of Us. Like, I think three is still like a perfect spot for a two game video game series, you know? Well, I guess it's technically three, but if you're focusing on the main story, two. But
yeah. And I'll say this after fucking every time we have a TV show where it's week to week. Like, don't you think this would have been so much worse if they released it all at once?
I agree. The binge format is around, the less I like it. I think Netflix is losing out
like
by
Joel,
you can't like build up the marketing for it. You can't build up anticipation. They just throw it at you like, consume at your leisure, which is nice. But like from a business perspective, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And honestly, I like having to wait for it. It's a delayed gratification.
Yeah, like I'm excited.
Yeah,
for,
I mean,
in 2 weeks, and I'm sorry to step over here, Jim, but like,
yeah, no problem.
Succession comes back on the 26th for HBO. Like, Yellow Jackets comes back on the 26th for HBO. So it's just like
Showtime.
Oh, Showtime. I'm so sorry. So it's like that appointment viewing weekly is just like way more fun. It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
And just like it's just a community experience having it like this is just, I will always prefer it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're Binge Town TV, like that's the joke. But the deal is that we love TV so much that, you know, we find a show, whether it's already established or it's newer, whether it's like Netflix dropping all at once, and we love it, so we binge it. That's the selfish part of you, like as a consumer. And yeah, I mean, a lot of the time I agree with you 100% week to week. It just seems like it's better. The anticipation, everything you said is right on key. But the selfish side of me, like when I see one, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Give me the second one. Next step, next step, next step. And if it's there, you're going to do it.
That's
so,
I mean, like I said, I guess that somewhat earlier, I've been binging the fuck out of Succession. I mean, I literally watched Ted Lasso earlier this month in like 2 days. So
we
like,
just,
that was a good time.
I mean, but, we just shat on our whole brand. I guess we have to go now to like, we got to switch.
I'm getting in my ear. Yeah. I'm getting in my ear telling me to backtrack on my statements. So
Weekly Town Television. We're coming at you.
Weekly Town Television. That's like our creepy alter ego or something like that.
Yeah, that's
Weekly Town Television. All right, so I want to do my lasting shot, but I also have a couple rapid fire for the Rooks here. Nothing crazy, but we already almost got into everything that I wanted to say. Kyle and Dave and Brian, you guys nailed it when it comes to the weekly stuff. HBO just seems special at this point. It just does. You know, you have White Lotus, House of the Dragon, Succession, The Last of Us. It's just week to week, you know you're getting money. And I know that Sopranos and The Wire, that started it all. But for a long time in between, before Game of Thrones started and after Game of Thrones ended, I felt that like there was a void there. You know, it felt like there was that emptiness where I wasn't doing the whole like, all right, Sunday appointment TV. Well, it's back, and I don't want to say it's back because of House of the Dragon, but that was like a big one for me where I was like, oh yeah, baby. But like White Lotus, Succession, like you said, Kyle, The Last of Us is like that for me. It's just, I can't ask for anything more as a video game player when it came to this show. I don't think I said anything bad about the adaptation. I don't want to say it another time, but I'm going to, that Bell Ramsey killed it, and I don't care about anything anybody else says.
Get the fuck off our podcast if you don't like Bella Ramsey's
performance. Get the hell off Weekly Town Television.
I saw some crazy about like them having to shoot down rumors that they were going to recast Ellie for season two.
And they literally came out and said the only way that we will leave Bella Ramsey is if she leaves us. That's it.
Like, what?
I mean, that's crazy. And I can't believe after this season, people are still having problems. And I really do think they're starting to turn into the minority. It just has to be that way. I can't. I would really hope so. But again,
I have like chills because I'm like angry from people not liking Bella Ramsey's performance. It's crazy.
Everything that they did, video adaptation wise, video game adaptation wise, was just amazing. I said it earlier in this episode. They found the stuff that was needed. They knew when to copy it right over. They knew where to give us a little bit extra or to take some stuff away. And it was just, it was to me, I don't like saying perfect, but it was really, really, really good. And going into my rapid fire, because it's kind of going into my parting shot, my first question to you guys is, pretend you're me and Brian and many of the other. Yeah, I know it sucks, right? and you're one of the many, many people that played the video game in whatever year it was. And you don't know that there's going to be a part two ever. Like, it took a while to even be announced. Are you okay with this being a limited series, one season show? No. Or does that feeling that you had where you felt a little underwhelmed bother you?
I would say it would bother me to end one show.
Okay.
It would bother me too. It would need a little bit more of like a harder ending, I guess. I don't know how really that
much to separate the fact that I know that there's more.
Yeah.
From like,
yeah, that's true. That's
from
true.
This answer. But I think I could be convinced that it was okay. You know, that it's kind of like open-ended in the sense of, but I feel like there's like that open-endedness being like, are Joel and Ellie ever going to be okay again? I feel like it's open-ended.
Yeah, it's exactly. Yep.
Like, I mean, B-Toms has, you know, consciously not continued the story for himself. So
look,
I guess I'm
by design, leaving the game on this cliffhanger naturally enables discussion about it. I mean, I want to bring up Craig Mazin's quote in the post credits was people have argued about it for a decade. Should Joel have done what he did? In the end, the only thing we can be sure of is we understand why he did it, and we understand that Ellie would not have wanted him to do it. And that's
when he says it like that, it literally sounds like, yes, you could leave it at this as a limited series. When he says it like that,
it promotes so much conversation. It allows you to fill in the blanks. My headcanon could be if part two never came out, they were able to overcome the differences and just live kind of a flawed life built around this lie in the back of their head. But they would be safe, happy, and loving in Tommy's compound, or they would eventually come out with this lie and they wouldn't be able to come to terms with it and they'd go their separate ways. It could be a million things, but I mean, you can just fill in those blanks, but it does make sense. The choices that the characters made.
My opinion on that is that if you're going to tell a story, like that's not telling the whole story. I would say like those are big blanks to fill in.
Yeah.
About this story, and that feels like not actually telling the full story is like the, I guess, like immediate visceral reaction I have to that quote.
Well, you like The Sopranos, yes? Did that tell the entirety of the story?
But
at the end,
the
or did they just leave it
really
on
like
the
a
mic
show
throw?
About anything? As much I feel like as this is, this was kind of like a journey with like Ellie has this purpose where she is like a potential savior of the world. Like The Sopranos is just about Tony kind of coming up in the world.
And the question is if he's alive
or dead.
Something
that happened at that point. Like there were so many loose ends that were tied up. Like the only loose end, and maybe if it even is a loose end, is what happened to Tony. And I feel like it feels a lot different than this level of open-ended with Joel and Ellie because like we know that they're going to go live more scenes out. Like with Tony at the end, it was a lot of people are gone and dead. He's kind of had his change and we've seen him go through his journey and it's kind of he's at the end of his road. I feel like Joel and Ellie aren't at the end of their road.
The problem with shows we love is no matter what, we want more. And The Sopranos, it was hated by a lot of people because the fade to black, because, oh my God, you didn't tell me if he got caught. You didn't tell me if he died. You didn't tell me if he just sat there and finished his meal. Like, we have no idea. Jesus Christ, give us some freaking more. Now, that's the max when it comes to this series, I would say. But coming from someone who played the game, it's again, Kyle, you're right. I mean, it is tough to know that there's more, but at the time I didn't know.
Yeah.
And as a video game, you sit there and you go like, geez, like the argument that you said about it's the journey, it's about the journey is almost why I'm okay with it being one season and done, because there's the journey. And that was like, okay, like there's the end of their story that they were telling. I don't know, and I didn't look into it too far, if originally like they were saying like, it, you know, it wasn't called The Last of Us Part One. It was The Last of Us. You know, I don't know if they were going to continue it. But when I finished the game, I sat there and I was just like, wow, this was a ridiculously amazing journey. And I'm so happy right now. But there is in the back of your head like, God damn it, I want some more. You know, like I want some more. But I think that myself, if I'm pretending like I was when I played the first video game, I would say if this is a limited series, it would be one of my top five limited series of all time.
Yeah, I kind of want to go back, Kyle. You said they clearly still have more scenes to act out. What direct mission do they still have to complete? Like, they've kind of done the stuff with the Fireflies and Ellie. You know, we told her the lie. It's either the lie sticks or it doesn't. Either way, they're going to go to Tommy's, and like, there's no clear adversary that's tracking them at the moment. There's no, I mean, unless things have changed at Tommy's compound, but the assumption is that's like a safe haven at the moment. So what else needs to be handled other than just going back to Tommy's and posting up at a house? If you didn't know there was a part two, like that would be ending point of the journey, like Jimmy was saying.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an opinion I don't think I would share. Like, I think I would have been upset personally. I'm just the type of person that wants to know and have more details about the ending. But it also feels like I guess at that level, yeah, I mean, I guess it's just simply a story about what we do or what we're capable of.
I'm just going to say
that we love.
Kyle's opinion, but then we're separating ourselves. Like, it's okay. It's the two people's opinion that played the video game versus the two people haven't. So it's like,
I was just going to say, you'll never know what it feels like to not know that there's a part two. And that's the problem. You know, I appreciate that you guys are just giving your like what you think and pretending that you don't know. And that's the only thing we can ask. And again, whether it's one way or the other, opinions are opinions. So it's all relative here. And that's why it's great to have differing opinions so we could talk about them.
Yeah, I guess I'm just like pure opinion of it feels like it's too big of an open ended. Of like what happens next for the two of them and their relationship.
Right. So you're not saying necessarily like, oh, there needs to be another mission. You're just saying, listen, I need to know if they get back to the town and Ellie says, I freaking hate you and I'm never going to see you again. If she goes on a rampage and kills him, if she says we're all good and then they live happily ever after, just that you just want to be told that.
Maybe right? I'm told I want to be shown.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll tell you right freaking now, dude.
Don't fucking spoil me.
All right. Okay. These two rapid fires really quick. One, Kyle and David, do you think that Joel will tell Tommy the truth? You don't have to get into it. You can just say yes.
Like
or
about
no.
Ellie, yes. Like he'll open, like
about
he'll
what
tell-
went down.
Yes.
Like he knows he's an immune, like she's immune, obviously. So, I mean, about everything that went down, they show back up and he says, okay, Ellie's here.
I think he's a Jimmy, different man. He's a different.
I'm
man
also
now, so
a rook now.
Oh yeah,
so
I forgot.
Is going to be fair game for me.
Get in this.
I'm going to say yes.
Wow. Well, Tommy's a former Firefly, and I'm not. It sounded like him and Merlene had a bond. I would say no. He would, because Tommy is kind of incendiary in his own right, and there's no reason to bring Tommy into the lie if he doesn't have to. So I would say no.
Okay.
Good point. That's a good point.
Okay, yeah, last question.
Selfish though, he might want to get it off his conscience.
Did you answer, Kyle? Is that your official answer?
He said away. Or he said yes away. Yeah, I'm sorry. Gotcha. Yeah. But anyway, all right. Maybe we finish the rapid fires and get this thing out of here. But we could say that the seven of us probably will be back to talk some more Last of Us, maybe some MVPs, LVPs, maybe some bracket, some episodes, maybe some
Our issue is that one wrap, we always want to,
but we're super busy right now.
The other thing is too, we might be collabing with another podcast, so be on the
we have some collabs for Last of Us coming.
The Delco Nerds, if you guys haven't heard of them, go check them out. We're gonna be, hopefully Luke and I will be joining them on a podcast to discuss some more Last of Us, and we'll be dropping that content as well on our channel. So
what they're trying to say is, although The Last of Us season one may be over, Bingetown TV, aka Weekly Television,
Weekly Town Television.
Yes, we are going to continue putting out the content. Like I said, March is actually a pretty busy month for us. We got Shadow and Bone dropping, Yellow Jackets. If you have an email address, go make a free 30-day Showtime account.
Please
binge
do.
Yellow Jackets season one. Do. Catch up. Follow us for season two. Like I said, we covered season one. Go to Bingetown TV. Check out our coverage. And hey, maybe listen to the other 300 episodes too, if you have the time. I get it. People are busy. Whatever. But as always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Visit us on BingetownTV.com and subscribe to our show on Spotify, YouTube, the Apple Podcast app, or wherever else you may find your podcast. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
This isn't the last you'll hear from us, guys.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.